We are not discussing the number 70 tonight. Or Esther. No, new thing. So if you have a Chumash, it's Perek Yerbeis Pasuk Hei. Perek Yerbeis Pasuk Hei, which we read on this week's Parsha, Parsha Chodesh. It's all talking about the article says on the side, the Pesach sacrifice. Now it says, beginning Pasuk Gimel, speak to the entire assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, you shall take for themselves each man a lamb or a kid for each father's house, celebrate Shabbos. Then we're in Pasuk Dalid, it says, Vim Yimar Habayis Miyos Miseh, the Lakahu Shchena, Karbal of a base, but Mikhsa Tafasha, just to be Akhli, Tachoy Swala Seh. So it works is, we do not want any leftover food from the Pesach sacrifice. So since what you do is you get an animal, and then you get a bunch of people registering on the animal, and you decide how many people can eat how much food, then you decide on how many people will join each animal. So you either get a larger animal if you have a bigger group, or you got people eat a lot, or you go on a small animal, that's all the first Pasuk there. Now what type of animal? Pasuk 5. And this is applicable. Not every halacha is applicable for all Karban Pesach. Some stuff was written here was only for the Egyptian Karban Pesach, like putting the blood on the doorpost. We don't put blood on the doorpost in general. Although, according to some people, we eat the blood in the matzah. But other than that, we don't do a Seh Tamim. It's got to be unblemished. Applies. Zachar ben Shana Yilachem. Now, these last words we're going to discuss. Mina kvasim u mina izim tikachu. Article in English says, from sheep or goats, you shall take it. Sheep or goats. That's the phrase. Mina kvasim u mina izim tikachu. What does the word Arachayim HaKadosh says first? What does the word Tikachu mean? Tikachu either means take it, like, and designate it, and it could be extreme case, Tikachu means to buy it. If you don't have any animals, go buy one. So this Arachayim HaKadosh has a kasha. If you look at Pasuk Dalet, it says, V'lokachu Shechena Karvalov. You already bought it. So why does Pasuk Dalet have a lokach and Pasuk Hey have Tikachu? Arachayim has this kasha. So Arachayim has an interesting answer. Arachayim says, Halacha L'maisa, let's say a guy has kvasim. It's written first in the Pasuk, but he doesn't want kvasim. He wants izim, but he already owns kvasim. So he's not sure. If I already own kvasim, is it insulting if I go and buy izim? No, Tikachu, you're allowed to go buy izim. So it tells you the word Tikachu to purchase it, to buy it, to designate it. Next to the word izim, to tell you that you have no problem with that. So now what do you do now? How starts our shir tonight? When the Torah says, mina kvasim or mina izim, is that a literal read it as is, the order of what you should do? Is there a mila to the keves before the eis? Or no, the Torah can't write two things simultaneously, you have to speak. So everything has to be divided up. So it could have written mina izim, mina kvasim, but it wrote mina kvasim, mina izim, but that doesn't mean one's better than the other one. And use the Arachayim curse as a proof, because Arachayim curse saying, tikachu is going on the second one to show you that whatever you want, it's not a big deal. So we have the words mina kvasim, mina izim. How do you understand these words? Is it literal preference in order? First, get a keves. Depends how many people you have and snap. But if it works out, take the keves first. Oi, like almost like b'di'eved. B'di'eved, you take the izim. Or no. The Torah is limited to what it could do. But avada means either way. The Mishnah Krisis says, Reb Shimon says, the last Mishnah Krisis, Chof Chesam Ralph. Reb Shimon says, you should know the mention of lambs precedes that of goats everywhere in the Torah. It always says, Rashi right away on the Pasuk quotes our Pasuk. Everywhere in the Chumash, Ksiv, it says, Minak Kvasim, it first says Kvasim, Bahadim and Izim. And Rashi's quoting, it's a little girsa, our Pasuk. You see our Pasuk, Mikvasim and Izim. Rav Shimon says, by the way, just know, if you're a Baal Kaira, you'd know that Kvasim always goes before Izim. Why? Rav Shimon finishes. Yachol, you would think, like we just discussed, Ibnei Shein Mufchar Mehem, because really Kvasim is Mufchar, it's more, what's the word that they use? Superior. You would think it's better to use Kvasim of Izim. The Mishnah is saying, Arkasha, why does it always say Kvasim of Izim? We were asking on one Pasuk. He's saying, by the way, if you look at all the Pesukim, it always says Kvasim of Izim. You would think, always do that first. Tamalayim, there's one location it doesn't. The one location of Kevis Yavi Karbon Lechatas, which is a Pasuk in this week's parasha, 4:32. We're mixing the parasha with the thing. It's perfect timing. In this week's parasha, at one point, you're going to have the words izim before kvasim. But in 99% of the Torah, in all the other places, it always says kvasim for izim. So Rav Shimon in the Mishnah says, you should know, by the way, even though it always says kvasim and izim, it's not davka. How do I know it's not davka? Because there's one time that it's going to switch the order. If it was important, it would always be the same order. To tell you that everywhere always, it means it doesn't matter. So like example, a Heintig example. You always say, ladies and gentlemen. Is that ma'akev, ladies and gentlemen? Are you allowed to say gentlemen and ladies? I don't know. I'm assuming, yeah, though. Depends who's sitting in the women's audience. Depends who's sitting there, I guess, right? His and hers. It's the opposite. His and hers is the opposite of ladies and gentlemen. I have a mamash abam kasha. How can we always say his and hers, men go first, and yet we say ladies and gentlemen, and she goes first? Because we want to show there's no difference. So here we have this thing. So we have an open Mishnah. It's a Chiddush Neira. Because we'll see, not everyone agrees to this, by the way. The Mishnah says that even though it always says kvasim and then izim, so you might think there's something to the kvasim over the izim. He says, no, it's not true. Now, the next question is going to be, so why does it always say kvasim in front of the izim? Why would it do it? Is there any point in that? In a second. So now we have a thing like this. You have a choice in what to do. Oh, so 99% of the time it says it first, and here in this one location it reverses it, and it's not even in the same pasuk. It's a couple pasukim early, which means it was more chashav. Which means on the surface, the Mishnah's on the surface, you could do whatever you want. Does that mean you could do whatever you want or not? Now we have an Arachayim HaKadosh who's saying, Avad, you could do whatever you want. Arachayim HaKadosh says that the word tikachu, to purchase, is on the second animal, to tell you, in a chanami, do whatever you want. Now Rav Tzadok HaKohen fascinatingly says like this, you could do whatever you want is limited. You could do whatever you want means depends on what you want. So let's say, example, you like keves more than eis. You like keves more than eis. Could you do whatever you want? So I said, no, then you can't do whatever you want because there's a separate halacha. The separate halacha is when you bring a sacrifice or you want to do something for a mitzvah, you got to do the nicest one. You got to buy the nice asterisk, right? You got to buy a nice loaf. You got to make a nice sukkah. You have nice sefer Torah. You also have to bring the animal to the carbon that's going to be the nicer carbon. So once, it's a funny thing here. So you have free choice in what you want, either a keves or an eis. That's an open mishnah so far. But we're telling you, by the way, as a side thing, it's what you want if they're all statistics are equal. If everything's the same, then do what you want. But if not everything's the same, you like one more than the other, an extreme, you're allergic to one, not the other, then you don't have a choice. Then you got to buy the one that's better because you personally have to do what's better as a separate halacha of when you do something for the Beis Hamikdash or for a mitzvah, you got to do a nice thing. So it's like buy a nice esrog. You know? That's what it says. And that's Reb Tzadok on the side, not even mention this. But as we start here, so we have now a Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to say, do whatever you want. Now, this, once you have this new detail from Reb Tzadok that you don't have free choice, that means let's say inherently we find that a certain zman in time. We've discussed this in other issues. Let's say we decide in America that lamb is more than chicken. Right? Lamb is more than chicken. So if that's true, that lamb's more than chicken, then we have a Zaytik Halacha. It means what Reb Shimon is saying in the Mishnah, you do whatever you want. We now, and if you would stop in the Mishnah, you'd say, do whatever you want. We're saying, no, there's a separate problem here. You could do whatever you want when everything's equal. You cannot do whatever you want when it comes to the separate Halacha of being nice to the Beis Midrash. So if you're in a country that lamb is considered much more chashav, or at least for yourself, it depends on how far you're gonna go with this, then you might have to do one if it's much more chashav. You could say, I don't like it, then that's your personal choice. But overall, you now are limited on your choice. You have to do something that's much better. So even though it's saying do what you want, again, the do what you want is a limited do what you want. The do what you want until there's a preference. Once there's a preference, you can't do it. I would venture a guess to say that not only do what you want means based on what you like and taste, not do what you want also what you might be, God forbid, allergic to, but do what you want might be based on price. Let's say you're a guy and your natural tendency is that you don't want to give fresh food. You want to give food from Bar Mitzvah from 6 months ago. It's a random example I'm quoting, by the way. And so you decide money's more valuable than the actual taste of the food. So does that play into the role? Let's say you say this. Really, I like Gedi more than Kevis. I like lamb, but I can't put my hand in my pocket. I'm a Pilesha. As a Galatiano, I'm going to make fun of a Pilesha. If you're a Pilesha, you say Galatiano, right? Right? Moses is saying, no, not the Galatianos that I wanted to achieve. So if, let's say, a guy says, I don't want to spend money because I like my money, it could be Kenzain and Chami. That's part of your choice. That means you have a choice what to do as long as everything's equal. But once you have something that's more valuable to you, either in the taste or in the look, maybe in the price tag, then now you're obligated to do it. So if you're the opposite, you're an extreme guy who likes to spend money, and it could be you're obligated to buy the more expensive one. But set up so far, just had to read the Mishnah. And now it goes to the great story here. It's not clear if it goes by your personal view or by what's considered more valuable. Again, so the Mishnah itself seems to say, do whatever you want. Now look at the story. Everything I just said now is going to lead into what the story's about. Because now we're deciding, is there something inherently subjective, objective, to what's more valuable? That means, let's say you decide, you think lamb is better than chicken. Okay, does that mean lamb is better than chicken? No, that's your opinion. So 99% of the people have that opinion. Does that mean it's for sure true? No, that's just an opinion. It's always subjective. Everything's based on subjective, right? Very few, here goes the Gemara. If you want to see him, Psachim, it's Nun Zayin, and increase it's at the end over here. Fascinating story. Yanai Malka, King Yanai, and Queen Yanai, Malkasa, and by the way, Yanai is not a good guy. Yanai is a guy who killed a lot of Tamil Chum. Not one of our favorite people in the world. Yanai and the Malkasa were sitting around. The king and queen are sitting around. What did the king and queen talk about 1800 years ago? More. The king said, goat meat is better tasting than lamb meat. Malka Oma Gadya Yoy. The Gadya is the Gadi Yoy is better. Now, right away, he says something, she has to say something else, right? So Malkasa, the queen, says, no. That's not true. Imra Yoy, the Kevis is better. Having a debate. So what type of debate is this? Is it debate what? The article added the word taste. I don't know. Can you debate taste? Is that such a thing? You could debate what tastes better? I don't know if that's even possible. Everyone has their own taste, right? What do you do in such a case? Amru, they said, listen, we have to solve the matter. Article said, they got to solve. What is better? They decided to ask Yisachar, the headman of the village Bar Koi. Nishal Yisachar Ishkvar Bar Koi. Who is Ishkvar Bar Koi? Early in the Gemara it says this. Ishkvar Bar Koi is a Kohen Gadol. But we have an halacha by a Kohen Gadol that you can't have a chatzitza in any of the avodah. Can't wear gloves. Can't wear shoes even, right? Everything's got to be directly there. This Krabar is Yisachar. It says earlier, he used to wear silk gloves. He held Chashav Zatz. He wore silk gloves. That's not the halacha. Here goes the story, what's going to happen to him. So they called in the Kohen Gadol, right? Nishalu. The Kohen Gadol who? They said, since he's the Kohen Gadol, the Kimle. A Kohen Gadol, but not sure why. A Kohen Gadol will know what's better, a Gedi or an Imer. Does that make sense to you? I don't know why you call them Gadol. Go to a butcher. Or ask 90% of the people on the street. But they said, no, we're going to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, he will know what's a better thing. So they came to the Kohen Gadol. And here some Gersai say the Kamasik Kabanas Kayama. He's dealing with Kabanas the whole day. He knows what's better. Knows what's better what? I don't know what it means now. Fine. Shaul, they asked him. Amalehu. So he said, I'll give you a good answer. Now what he should have answered, everyone sitting in this room, if God forbid the king called you in. Now you can't make a mistake with the king. That's not unwise. Life expectancy when you make a mistake with the king is not good. So what would you have answered if he calls you in? What's better? You would say, oh, I know, the Mishnah in Croesus says, that's the same, do whatever you want. That's what he should have answered. But that's not what he answered. If he would have answered that, the rest of the story would have ended. We wouldn't have had the story. He didn't answer that. So what'd he say? He said, I'll tell you what, very simple. He said, if you're going to say a goat is better, wouldn't it be offered for the tumet sacrifice? Every day we bring a tumet, twice a day we bring a tumet. We don't do it. So we don't bring a gdis. Elamai, the gdis is no good. Now, if you're keeping cheshbon, who said the gdis better? The king said the gdis better. So he had a choice here. Face the king or face the queen. Do I look good in this dress? What's your answer? I don't know. No answer, right? So here's a question. The king says, I say A and she says B. I don't know if he knew that at the time. He said, what do you say? So he said, listen, look at the carbon tumet. Again, what the carbon tumet is that? But the problem was, as he spoke to the king, he machta vek with the hand. He said, like this. The wave of the hand, not a good move. Amalu Malka, the king said to his servants, this guy waved his hand at the king. Since he waved his hand, kutzel liyadei demina. Punishment, cut off his right hand. Now, we know the reason the Gemara is saying this is because he was a person who wore gloves on his hand, and he wasn't supposed to do that. He was mevaza HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to pay you back, and you'll get your hand cut off. So what did he do? This guy already made one big mistake. One mistake, he didn't know the Mishnah. That's the real mistake. Second mistake is he got involved with this fight. He shouldn't have got involved at all. And he waved his hands. He's just making compounding mistakes. What's his next move right now? Here goes the better move. What does he do? Yoyev shuchta katzi yod Ismail. He said, the king's really looking. My right to your left, right. He gave a shtickle gelt. Unter the tish. He bribed the guy and said, listen, my right hand's, I'm a righty. Take off the left hand. So that's what he did. Does the guy care? Chopped off the left hand. The problem was, there was a snitch. So they found out. Shama Malka, the king heard that he cut off the left hand. He goes, that's not what I told him to do. Now cut him off the right hand. So he lost both his hands. This is Gemara. In two places. Both his hands are gone. Now how'd you end the story? Rabbi Yosef, this is Rabbi Yosef ends the story. By the way, you should know, do the English. Look how great is, blessed is Hashem and blessed is Yisachar because he got his punishment in this world. Here he's saying, Baruch Hashem, he's lucky he got paid off in this world. He lost both his hands. So again, we're going to go back to our thing now. We started out with a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, Kvasim goes first and Ezim goes second. That's how you read it. It's an open pasuk. We were asked the question, does that mean that you have to read the pasuk the way it is? And then we want to be smart. We'll say almost every pasuk in the Torah always says Kvasim before Ezim. So it's, it must be something there. Then no, Reb Shimon says it's not a true thing. Reb Shimon says, don't worry about it. Because I found you one place that it doesn't say it first to teach you that all over, they're equal. Then we are our own said, not the Mishnah. And by the way, what's called equal is mean mamash somehow equal. But if there's going to be a personal preference, then you're limited to what you got to do. Then we have now an oddball machloikas. We have the king and the king arguing about what's, and they're calling in the Kohen Gadol. Again, if it's a taste thing, or if it's a value, even if it's a monetary thing. What is a monetary thing? You go check the stock market. What's the futures? What costs more money? It's the supply and demand. If it's what's more valuable, check the price stickers. If it's what tastes better, I don't go to the restaurant to see what people are ordering. They went to the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara is quoting the whole story of the Kohen Gadol just to tell you that he lost his hands. But what are we talking about this story for? What are we doing here? So there has to be some deeper meaning. And of course, there are many, many answers, but we don't want the president saying, I give too many answers on one thing. So we'll go through a couple of interesting turitzim here. Well, I'm answering now Heshi's original question. The question is, if Kvasim and Ezim are taka equal, that means if you're writing the Sefer Torah right now, and you know that why, because Reb Shimon tells you that Kvasim and Ezim are equal, how would you write the Sefer Torah? Would you write Kvasim in front of Ezim 99.9% of the time, and then go out at one time, switch it? Or would you just interchange it, 50% here, 50% there? I'm saying, that doesn't do that. So that's what our drasha is tonight. Why? We're going on the inherent value of something. If the Torah held that Kvasim is not more valuable, so why 99% of the time? That's what Hashi asked. Why are we always doing Kvasim over Ezim? There's no point to that. So why is always saying Kvasim over Ezim? So there are different Torahsim. So we're going to do a fascinating one. Gemara and Shabbos says, at one point in time, every word has a meaning to it. Okay, the Gemara discusses intriguing natural phenomena. That's a good opening quote. Intriguing national phenomena. Reb Zera was once encountered Reb Yehuda. Reb Zera bumped into Reb Yehuda as he was standing at the door of his father-in-law's house. And Reb Zera saw that Reb Yehuda was in a good mood. What do you do when you find the rabbi in a good mood? You never had that yet. That's David saying it never happened. Never found the rabbi in a good mood. Oh, he decided like this. I found Rabbi Yehuda in a good mood. I could ask him anything in the world. Rabbi Yehuda knows everything. He said, let me ask you some wild questions. These are what they're thinking about. Amalei, here goes the first question. And you have to, of course, every meeting here is also deeper. What is the reason that goats walk at the front of the flock and the sheep follow the goats? These are exactly animals we're talking about here, what we use for carbon Pesach. Why is it that the goats walk in the... Have you ever thought of this question? I don't know. I didn't even know it was true, but we're taking this faith value. But this is not klutz conscious. Why do goats lead the pack and the sheep follow the pack? See, it says, I'll tell you why. I'm a leader. He says, I'll tell you a simple answer. Kibri asay shel oilam. Because it's natural phenomena how the world was created. What? Goats, sheep, world, what? He explains. He says, Debereisha, because in the world was created, what goes first? By our daytime, we have, by our days, in Judaism, it goes night, then day. So, Debereisha, at first, is darkness. Every night goes first. And also, the world was created. Bechoshech. V'had and Ahira. And then goes light. And here goes Oscar in parentheses. That's what it says. Similarly, in general, goats are dark and sheep are light. Sheep are white and goats are dark. So since goats look dark, sheep look light. The world was created dark before light. So the goats go before the sheep. So we have darkness before lightness. So I saw Gavald Gavar from Dover Paradoy. So now we have a kasha, Heshi's kasha. If it always says kvasim before izim, but we know they're equal, so why does it always do that? Why does it always say kvasim before izim if the mice are interchangeable? So if Dara Party wants to tell this, when is it night before day? 99% of the time it's night before day. That's how it works. There's only one exception when it's not night before day. When does the night follow the day? You're doing daf yomi in Hilchas Kachim. In Kachim, the day starts and the night ends. Backward from the rest of the thing. Date of the calendar, Friday night starts, Pesach night starts by night. That's true. The dates begin at night. But in Hilchas Kachim, when do you first bring the animal? You bring it in the morning. When do you run out of time? It depends on the day. One day, 2 days, you run out of time through the night. This is what the Parada says. Since normally we have dark before light, and dark for light means we put Gedi before Kvasim, that's because the whole world is dark before night. But when it comes to Kachim, when the Torah is quoting all these things by Kachim, it goes light and then dark. The Kvasim go first, the sheep go first. Why? Because it goes daytime and then nighttime. So daytime and then nighttime, and 99% of the Torah tell you how Kachim goes. Two more things. I have a lot more. We could do this for 17 weeks now. And Parshas told us, we have a fascinating thing. We discussed this a few weeks ago. When was Yitzchak's birthday? Yitzchak's birthday is on Pesach by night. So we said then that he decided Yitzchak on his birthday. There's a minute on your birthday, you bless people. Yitzchak had a birthday coming up. I'm going to bless my child. He wanted to bless Esav, but he wanted to bless the child. So Pesach by night, he says, Esav, I'm going to bless you, right? And now what happened in the story? Rivka heard the events and she's like, I don't like this idea. This is not a good idea. Behold, I heard your father speaking to your brother Esav. Bring me some game. Let me do the Hebrew. 7. Havili tzayit. Right? She said, I want to eat. And we know, Rashi says, what happened? She tells the son, Ata Shema B'ni, listen to me. B'ni Shema B'koli, listen to my voice. What I'm going to tell you to do. Lechna Alatsoin. I never thought of this kach till this week. Lechna Alatsoin. Go to, let's see what Oscar says. I didn't look at it earlier. Go to the flock. The kach to Misham. Shnei Gdiizim. She switched. Go to the sheep and get me a goat. She switched in the middle. But only rebellion knows the next 2 words. What are the words after that? Why'd she say it? Is they want to bring down. The Esai Summit Tamim, I will make your father. Rashi says the two, who eats two gdiizim? That's right. She said, take two ezim. That's too much food. Pesach by night. You're supposed to have the carbon chagiga. That's Rashi's on the spot. So these gdiizim that Rivka is bringing to Yaakov to give to Esav is a carbon Pesach because it was Pesach by night. Two animals, two gdiizim. Look what it says here. What are the next words? Kasher Ohev. English. Go now to the flock, which says sheep. Fetch me for their 2 young choice goats. Why? Is that mean what are we doing with carbon Pesach here? I will make the delicacies for your father as he loves them. So I saw a gvaldik apart, what we're saying the whole time. The only time you have free choice is when everything else is equal. When everything else is equal, do what you want. But here Rivka was saying, listen, I have sheep, but no. The pasuk says it earlier, doesn't make a difference. You have to take a gdi, kasha, if that's what he likes. Since he likes one of them, that becomes the obligation to go first. So Rivka was saying, you need the gdi, because he likes the gdi personally. Now what did people normally do? So Gemara Pesachim we spoke about, Gimel and Beis Pesachim, one of the great stories of all time. Aramean, how do you say the word? Aramean. There was an Aramean, Gimel Beis Pesachim, that says like this. He was starting up with people. And he said, I want to show you something. Guy can't eat from the carbon Pesach. Here goes. There was an Aramean who would go up and eat the Pesach offering. Not allowed. A non-Jew is not allowed to eat the Pesach offering. The guy who gives them is in trouble. Omar, he wants to show off one time. He tells Yehuda Masera, listen, Yehuda Masera, it says in the Torah, guy's not allowed to eat, and yet I eat. That's great. What are we going to do about Bessari? Do we stock? What are we going to do? Amr Lehudu Bessari said to him, listen, they give you the best part. Did they give you from the tail? The fat tail, it says over here. Number 30 article says, Lehudu Bessari wanted to convince this Aramean that they were not being nice to Bechap, who he was. They didn't give him from the choicest stuff. So he told him, go get the choicest food. And this, Lehudu Bessari hoped to trick the Aramean. That was his goal. Into asking for the fat tail when he went again. So he went up to Yerushalayim, and I'm reading the words. Rabbi Meir told him, when you go up there next time, tell him, feed me from the fat tail. When he went up, he told the people in the Beis Hamikdash, feed me from the fat tail. They said to him, the fat tail? Nobody eats the fat tail. It goes on the Mizbeach. He said, what are you talking about? Don't trick me. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah told me to eat from the fat tail. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseiah, he doesn't make a mistake with a Mishnah. So he said, what's going on here? They started checking who this guy is. They found he's a guy and they killed him. Tosfos says, Akasha. It's not true. Tosfos says, wait a second. By the Gdi, There's a keves and a gdi. The keves, the aisle, goes on the mizbech. That's how he tricked him. That's how he tricked him. But by the gdi, it doesn't go on the mizbech. So what was the trick? He said, ask for the tail. They're going to chapa. His tail doesn't get eaten. They're going to chap. You're a goy. Because I would make that mistake. We have two options of what to bring for a Karban Pesach. A keves or a gdi. A keves, taka, the tail goes on to the mizbech. They would have chapped him. Isn't there a chance he's going to bring a gdi? How did Rabbi Yehuda Maaseiah protect him? Tosfos says, you should know, roiv pischeim hoyetle. The roiv was keves. So when you learn Tosfos, you learn that means most of the time they brought the sheep. And he knew, Rabbi Yehuda said they're going to bring the sheep. He's going to ask the question, they're going to chap mice. The Rosh Hashanah understands from this Tosfos that in a way, against Rabbi Shimon, there's an obligation to bring the keves first. So what do we have here? We have a very serious thing. We have keves. It always says keves before ace. The Mishnah says it's interchangeable. We're saying it depends on what you like. We have maybe a pasuk by Rivka to say it depends on what you like. But then we said, it's not just based on your own taste, it might be based on other factors. You have a Tosfos saying that they always bought a tleh, which means Tosfos must have held in that area, that time period, that something, a tleh was either more valuable, everyone liked, whatever the word's going to be, because it can't be 100%, you can't go against a Mishnah. Which means even though it might be subjective that you could do what you want, as the Torah says, the Mishnah says, do what you want, you should know, do what you want, it's a limited thing. It's do what you want within the confines of what's considered better. And the king and the queen are arguing about what might be better, which means it might be somewhat of an objective thing. And then we said the reason why, that one of the things they were fighting about was, why does the Torah always say it? Because the Torah is always telling us to know that even though it's night before day, by kachem goes the other way. But one thing we will say, we said that chosh, that the gedi goes in front of the line, and the sheep goes in the back of the line. And now we're saying from Tosfos that most of the time they brought a shepsela. Most of the time. There's a drushvar to say that the idea of Korban Pesach, the idea of getting out of slavery, is all about breaking that concept of being a follower. The sheep is the follower, right? We said the gedi is always in the front, the sheep's always in the back. The sheep's a follower. If you Google it, there's some place in Yugoslavia about 10 years ago that a guy's sheep went off the front and he couldn't stop it. And 3,000 sheep went over the top of the mountain. And the first few thousand got killed. The top ones got fluffy pillows. But the rest of them didn't, right? So why? Because the sheep are followers. What we're supposed to do, they bring down. Derech Musa is when we shach the Korban Pesach, which we're saying now many times was the tli, is to stop being the followers, become the leaders. Am Yisrael is really kulim b'nei malachim. We are leaders. We are b'nei malachim. And with that attitude, we'll be zeichet to a Korban Pesach of our choice in Yerushalayim. We are not discussing the